it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Morning. You all right? I hope you are. It's Monday, 8 in the AM, British Summer Time, on the 18th of May, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You are the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. I hope you had a good weekend. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking and raring for the week ahead. Let's get it done. Let's do stuff. Let's make it happen. Positive. Be positive. We're going to aim high, vote low. Millions must go. Mr. Boomers. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. And how are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Great. Good to hear. All right. Shall we get into it? What's the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? Shall we just get straight into it? Shall we stop faffing about? Stop all this fannying about and just get straight into it? All right. Why not? Why not? Let me just get my mouse ready. Okay, there it is. All right. The big stories are, the main things are, according to the BBC. Burnham faces perilous race to become an MP, not a foot race. Although he did do a bit of jogging at the weekend, didn't he? We'll have a look at that in a minute. Certainly not contrived. And WHO, World Health Organization, declares Ebola emergency. Ebola is terrible, it's a fearsome thing. It's not like COVID, which is just the flu, basically, isn't it? COVID, it was just like a bit of a cold, wasn't it? COVID. Ebola is terrifying. Still, it's not like it's a worldwide pandemic. It's become airborne or anything. But Ebola, bit of a worry. All right, The Guardian. Oh, really? First thing. Straight off the bat. First thing on a Monday as well. It's a bit sadistic, if anything. Why have they done that to us? The Guardian. All right, that's gross. All right. I know some people think that joke is really gross. I guess it is. I think it's funny. Right, The Guardian. There's Andy Burnham. Not that I'm perfectly svelte myself. I always used to be skinny my whole life. I was a skinny kid. I was a skinny young man. Found it difficult to put on muscle mass. Had to try really hard to put on muscle mass. Did eventually in like my late 20s, early 30s. But it's never been fat myself. Until a year or two ago, I've started getting a bit of a paunch. Right? But that's a belly. That's a proper belly. He's got moobs, a belly, and a double chin. Is there a good picture of him with a double chin? Somewhere. Yeah, look at that. Andy Burnham is not a man who jogs. Andy Burnham doesn't go jogging. He's completely out of shape. He's skinny fat, actually, is what he is, isn't he? A classic example of skinny fat. That's what Andy Burnham is. Right? But apparently we're supposed to believe he goes jogging. I don't buy that. I don't buy that for a split second. Should we see if there was some... Look, there he is jogging. Look, they put him in a football top, give him some trainers. Are those like short shorts? They're very nearly short shorts, aren't they? Not quite short shorts. But look, him going jogging with his beer belly. Oh, but then driving home. He said... This was a photo shoot at the weekend. He said they, the media, the people that filmed him jogging, they camped outside my house all day and doorstepped me, he wrote on X, formerly Twitter. I can assure you I wouldn't arrange to be filmed. Well, I just don't believe that. I just simply don't believe that because you drove home. You had another aide go and take a car somewhere to where you was going to end your fake jog and then you could drive home from there. and you were caught doing that. What happened there? All right. Andy Burnham. You can imagine, can't you, that his aides, his helpers, I mean, not the disease aides, not HIV aides, his aides and publicists and maybe political advisors said, Andy, we need to make you look young and healthy and vital, right? You're the new thing. You're the new vital, interesting thing. Starmer's old hat. He's old and past it and done. You're young and fit and strong and the new great thing. How can we do that? We'll show you jogging. It's happened in the past. Presidents have done that sort of thing in the past. Well, all leaders do it, don't they? You know, like where Putin's likes to be seen sort of riding a horse bare-chested in Siberia or something. Make you look physically virile and strong and fit and all that stuff. What we'll do, we'll put you in a football top, yeah, because you're a man of the people as well, remember that. You're king of the north. Yeah, you're a working class lad. Football. Normal people like football, don't they? We'll put you in a football top, yeah? We'll find you a pair of trainers. Some shorts that someone's left behind in the PE changing rooms. And you'll go out for a jog. We'll contrive it with like Sky News or something, or like the Daily Mail. We'll leak it to one of their people that you're going to be doing that, and they'll have a cameraman there. We'll get some images of you. Don't worry, we'll have a car at the other end to pick you up. Don't worry about that. Someone will drive your car there. You can drive it home. Don't worry about that. That's fine. That's obviously what happened there, isn't it? Obviously. You're supposed to believe that he's going on his daily jog. This isn't a man that jogs. Look at that. I'm not saying he's morbidly obese, isn't he? Is he? He's not terribly fat. But he's not a man who does cardio. He's skinny fat. It's just the classic. It's just the classic stuff, isn't it? It's just endless lying and spinning. Just endlessly. Why do that? Just accept you're a middle-aged man who's out of shape. What's the problem? Goddamn liars. Damn them. Damn him. All right. Podgy Andy Burnham, he looks like some sort of claymation turtle with his eyeliner and his beer belly, faces a perilous race in crunch by-election. So that's the whole thing now. It looks like Wes Streeting, Rayner, Miliband and whoever else fancies a shot. They're just going to wait before they launch a leadership bid. A leadership bid still hasn't been formally launched against Starmer. So it looks like they got the memo. It's Burnham or bust. Hashtag boner for Burnham. It's a bit blue for 8 o'clock in the morning, isn't it? But I've got the memo. We're going to wait for Burnham to see if he can win his by-election, and then we'll launch a leadership election. If he was truly ruthless, if he was Rayner or Ed Miliband or Wes Streeting, and you really, really, really wanted that job, you wouldn't just wait for Burnham, would you? If you had the numbers, that is. If you had the requisite 81 MPs to back you, that is. Maybe that suggests they don't. Maybe Wes Streeting hasn't got that 81. In which case, he's unlikely to beat Burnham anyway, should Burnham win his by-election. So, all right. They're all waiting for Burnham. Bumham. Andy Bumham. So all eyes are on that by-election then. Makerfield in Wigan. All eyes, the eyes of the nation turn to Makerfield. Turn to Wigan, of all places. All right, there's no guarantee you'll win it. I mean, I think Labour are, at the moment anyway, the bookies. And the polls are showing Labour in the lead there, with Reform second and Restore third there. We shall see how it all shakes out. We shall see how it all shakes out. What is Burnham actually standing on, though? What is his What is his vision, his view? What are his arguments? Just communism, socialism, just more of the same. Or worse, deeper, faster socialism than Starmer, if anything. In fact, there's a clip here. Is there a clip? Yeah, let's watch this little clip, right? Burnham says Manchesterism, because he's been the mayor of Manchester for like 10 years, after he failed to become the Labour leader twice before, in 2010, 2015. They didn't want him then. After essentially a failed ministerial career then. He was in government, was a junior minister in Blair years and more of a senior minister under Brown, but then was kicked down to the minor leagues, i.e. being a mayor. He's been doing that for 10 years. Thinks he's king of the north. King of anything, is he? I don't know why people are afraid of him. I don't know why Labour think he's such a brilliant sort of magic bullet to winning the next election. I don't know why other people, reform people and all sorts of other people, are scared of him, like they can't beat him. Like he's some sort of... like he's a brilliant, brilliant politician. Not at all. He's nothing. He's a nothing man. He's a skinny, fat pinko. With no force of character, no force of will. Let's watch this. He says, people ask him, what makes you different then? You know, what makes you different to Keir Starmer? His answer is Manchesterism. The way I, Andy Burnham, controlled Manchester over the last 10 years, we'll take that nationwide. Yeah, we'll take that nationwide. That'll fix everything. And when he's asked what it really means, socialism, just socialism. Let's watch this. Listen to this.
I'm totally committed to this place and what we've done here. And, you know, I'm a rooted person. You know, I live literally on the doorstep of this constituency. What I obviously am having to do is respond to events at the national level. But I've come to the conclusion in my almost 10 years as Mayor of Greater Manchester, I've kind of taken the place as far afield as I can. But if we're to go where I want us to be, it requires more change at the national level. You know, I've talked about doing for the rest of the country what we've tried to do in Greater Manchester, Manchesterism, you know, as we call it. And it's that more, you know, interventionist approach to the economy. People say, what is Manchester?
An interventionalist approach to the economy. Socialism, then. A bigger state. Exactly what most people don't want. Exactly what leads any country to disaster. So Andy just wants more of that. Interventionalism in the economy. Socialism, a command economy. Socialism.
Manchesterism, let me answer it. It's the end of neoliberalism. That's what it is, the end of trickle down. Actually, that didn't trickle much down at all to make a...
Again, socialism. Trickle down economy. That's what crypto communists, that's what reds under the bed like to say when they're talking about capitalism, that it's a trickle-down economy, and that's wrong, that doesn't work. Really? It's what's given the world the highest standard of living it's ever had in all of its history, in all of human civilization. The other way round, a command economy, a socialist economy, always fails, always ends in misery and collapse, and ultimately penury, even starvation. But Andy Burnham wants more interventionalism economically, doesn't like trickle-down economics. He doesn't give any more detail than that as well. Let's just hear it again.
Neoliberalism, that's what it is, the end of trickle-down. Actually, that didn't trickle much down at all to Makerfield or other places like it. I want to be really, you know, I don't want to kind of pull any punches, if you like, in this interview. I want people here to be really clear about what I'm saying. And
but he's not being clear. He's not just saying socialism, is he? Because the optics of that doesn't sound right. People, working class people in the north particularly, don't necessarily want that. He's not being honest. Just say it. Just say it. Socialism. A command economy, a centralised economy, a nanny state, a bigger state, less ownership, But he's not being honest, is he? Look at him. Look at the... That's the physiognomy and profile of a weak person. So gross. Andy Burnham. So it's the end of neoliberal. Andy wants the end of neoliberalism. Okay. Isn't it interesting that a lot of us wouldn't mind seeing the end of neoliberalism? But he wants to see an end to it from the left. If you want to, you don't have to. But if you want to characterise neoliberalism as something like the centre ground, something like that, he wants to move away from that to the left, further towards socialism, further towards the thing that the country has basically rejected. We've never been a socialist country. We've never been a socialist country. And the experiment's been tried a bit under Starmer, failed massively, massively unpopular. He wants to dive deeper into that. As I say, a lot of us would like to see essentially some sort of end to the neoliberal paradigm. Not to the left, though. Not to the left. But that's what Andy Bumham wants. Because he is simply a socialist. There you go. That's what he is. He hasn't got great answers. There's no great politician with great news. He's going to shake up Westminster and Whitehall at the national level. No, he's not. No, he's not. He'll do exactly what Starmer does, but more so. Do you think he's open borders, more safe and legal routes? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's what he is. Oh, yeah. He wants to talk about more intervention with the economy, but still just packing us with hundreds of thousands of more foreign people every year. Right. The inability to build new houses, the inability to truly tackle the problems in the NHS and getting GP appointments and stuff because there's so many new people. Won't talk about any of that. It'll be exactly the same that you're a racist and you're a bigot and you're a fascist and a Nazi if you want re-migration or something, or if you even want a cap on legal migration. There must be more safe and legal routes for him. That's who he is. He's one of those. Of course he is. Of course he is. But he's going to make all the profound changes that are needed in Whitehall and Westminster. He's going to restore trust amongst the population. It's absolutely more of the same, isn't it? Dirty, filthy commie. A disgusting idiot man. Bring that up, Harry. The state of it. He's king of the north. He's going to fix Britain's problems. This thing. This skinny, fat, red. No. No. Risible. Laughable. Okay. WHO chief, World Health Organization chief, declares emergency over Ebola outbreak. Yeah, it's in Uganda. Seen sub-Saharan Africa, Ebola outbreak. How you get outbreaks of Ebola? Don't ask. Don't ask. Like the monkeypox type thing, possibly. Possibly. Ebola. It's terrible though. Just quickly say it sort of liquefies your organs on the inside while you're still alive. One of the more terrifying and disgusting, hideous deaths you can imagine, dying of Ebola. Massive internal hemorrhaging in the end and organ failure. You don't want to get Ebola. Oh, and the mortality rate is fantastically high, insanely high. It's not like COVID, where it's the same level of mortality as like the flu. Which is to say, if you're not really old and already got other diseases, you will recover almost certainly. That's not the case with Ebola. You can be perfectly young and healthy and fit and virile, and it still kills you real quick. But it's not like airborne or anything. It'll probably, almost certainly be contained to Uganda. Okay, the World Health Organization love to make things scary, much more scary than they really are. An emergency. Is it? Outside of a relatively small area of Uganda, it's not an emergency, is it? That's what the WHO are. That's all they are, isn't it? to get attention and ultimately funding, they need to make out they're more important than they really are. The World Health Organization. Again, packed with globalist communists, isn't it? The World Health Organization. I thought it was brilliant when Trump just left, made the US just leave the World Health Organization. Brilliant, yeah. We don't need that supra level of that. It's not necessary. Okay, the Times, the venerable Times. What we're talking about here. Bumham's allies accuse Streeting of sabotage. Pledge to rejoin EU plays into Farage's hands. So this is a big thing all over the papers today. Is that we're Streeting, again, didn't actually launch his leadership bid formally because they're waiting for Burnham. In fact, he said he would campaign on behalf of Burnham in that Makerfield area. Weird. Isn't he supposed to be your rival for the leadership? Wouldn't you want to undermine him and beat him at every turn? No? Doesn't quite add up. Doesn't really make sense. Or in the interests of absolute fairness. Yeah, right. Anyway, Wes Streeting didn't launch his formal leadership campaign, but he did do a speech, and he did say, when the time's right and a leadership bid is launched, I will throw my hat into the ring. His gay leather cap hat, can only imagine. And he said, one of the things he said, Wes Streeting this is, that if it was up to him, if he was leader, he would look to rejoin the EU at some point, basically. He explicitly said that. He said, along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing now, but he said, we need much, much more closer ties to the EU. When we left the EU, that was a catastrophe. We should have much, much more closer ties and ultimately, at some point in the future, rejoin the EU. Wes Streeting, who isn't even on the left, considered particularly on the left of the Labour Party. Now, a few people came out, among them Lisa Nandy, the Runnymede Trust's Lisa Nandy, who's perversely the Minister for Culture. What a perverse thing that is. Just that one data point in the Starmer government. We need a Minister for Culture, Lisa Nandy, one of the most subversive traitors you can imagine, committed to destroying our demographic. Anyway, she said that that's not a great plan coming out of the Streeting camp. That just opens up old arguments, old wounds. It was like 10 years ago, right? The Brexit referendum and all that. It was 10 years ago, basically. Sort of, we should have moved past that by now. And if you, Wes Streeting, start talking about that and make it a big pillar of your campaign, start banging on and on about it every time you get a mic in front of you, that just plays into Farage's hands. Because that area in Wigan, at the local elections, across the board, went to Reform, didn't it? And during the actual referendum, I think it voted something like 65% to leave. Which is more than the national average, right? The national average, or the result nationally, was like pretty close, wasn't it? Like basically, I can't remember the exact number. I think it was like 52%, was it? Something like that. So that area in Wigan, Makerfield, is basically a Leave area and basically a Reform area, you could argue, basically. So is Wes Streeting sort of helping the Labour cause by talking about rejoining the EU? Is that going to make people in Makerfield want to vote Labour in this by-election? Well, it's a bit of a, it's obviously, isn't it? I think, obviously, some sort of cynical move by Wes Streeting to appeal to the left of the party. He's going to need the left of the party if he's going to ultimately win that leadership election. Because he's considered on the right and the left really, really don't like him. So if it ever came down to a one-on-one with him and Andy Burnham, say, he's going to need a big chunk of the left of the Labour Party to be in his column. How to do that? Just say something they really, really want. like rejoining the EU. Don't worry about how it damages the Labour Party as a whole. Don't worry about if the general population of Britain want that. Don't worry about any of that. Calculate streeting. He's so obviously just an ambitious career MP, isn't he? So obviously. Like, not a man of conviction. Not a man who's got a worldview and a set of values and convictions. And, you know, a clear-eyed vision of what he wants for politics and what he wants for the country. Then enter the political fray and try to get that done. No, not that. No, no. Just a man, a boy, in fact, started his political career very young, as little more than a boy, an extremely young man who just wanted power and influence, and then enters the race at that point and does and says whatever he thinks is expedient at any given moment to reach those aims. See how they're two very different things? Yeah, you see it. You see it. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? One is the sort of person you might hope will actually do the best for the country, act in the interests of the nation. And the other is a vapid, filthy scumbag who you cannot count on to do that. They will act in their own interests because that's what it was always about from day one. Can't even be sure that they're capable of thinking in any other terms. Actually, where streeting is. Okay. Chancellor put brakes on 5p fuel duty rise. Oh, thanks. Well done. I only mean that sort of 90% sarcastically. The other 10% is genuinely well done. You know. Yeah, but why not? Why leave it to this point to confirm that? An extra 5p tax on fuel. Yeah, of course. Since day one of this Iran war thing, people said, you're not going to put the fuel duty up on fuel, are you? You're not going to put that up, are you? Because that would be crazy with the prices through the roof. Let's have a quick look at the price of crude, shall we, on the open market. West Texas, $107 a barrel. Brent, $110. Creeping up again. Once, I still say that's not insanely high, but it is high. It is high, there's no doubt about that. And it's been hovering around there. Actually, all last weekend, at the weekend, it was hovering just below this. But now it's ticking up again. So Rachel Thieves, Rachel from Accounts, silly woman who seems to know nothing about economics, who's somehow the Chancellor of the Exchequer, has finally decided she won't put that extra 5p of tax on fuel. No question of them taking taxes off of fuel to make it more affordable for people. No question of that. Because they have to spend a lot, don't they? They have to tax loads because they plan on spending astronomically. Why? Because they're socialists. Because they don't know any other way. They think money grows on trees and that the state is endlessly rich and powerful. And if anything, you can always squeeze the millionaires to death. You can always squeeze the shekels out of the kulaks. The middle class, anyone that's got a tiny bit of wealth, can always squeeze them to death. There's always that. They need to spend a great deal because that's their worldview. They don't know anything else. They need to spend it on what, foreign invaders and the NHS. Give it away in foreign aid. They need to do that. They won't back down from that, even if it means tanking the economy and squeezing the wealth out of everyone. Had any concept of actual, realistic, reasonable, prudent economics, you wouldn't do such a thing. But that's not what they are they? They're not prudent, they're not reasonable. Okay, the Daily Mail, absolute slop, absolute subversive globalist slop. You know, sometimes I mention that they're just like anti-white, anti-family, anti-Western. Look at this. I know it's not a headline, it's just sort of essentially an advert for their insert magazine, but still front and centre, top of the front page. Will sudden repulsion syndrome spell the end of your marriage? psychos. These globalist psychos. Who owns the Mail Group? Nearly every day, something like this, or on the Express, they'll have something like, wives, leave your husband. This is why it's a good idea. Wives, is your man cheating on you? Just leave him. Wives, if you think about cheating on your husband, do it. Here's why it's a good idea. All that stuff. Women, don't have children. Women, I had a family and it ruined my life. Something like that. You go, look, sudden repulsion syndrome. What? 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 Filth. Absolute filth. Meghan Markle. Who cares about Meghan Markle really now? Anything she does or says, nobody cares. All right. Backlash over Brexit betrayal. Gove, Michael Gove, the Lord Gove, who was at the heart of destroying this country over that 14 years of Tory rule, at the absolute heart of all of that, he blasts Streeting and Burnham in Mail article. Like Michael Gove knows the answers. Like Michael Gove's got all the answers. And Michael Gove had a shot at making Britain great again, at helping us away from sort of the Blairite project and all the insanities that held. And he completely failed. He couldn't have failed any harder. There's stories of him right near the beginning of the Cameron administration going around the Cabinet office, giving everyone at Cabinet some sort of memorandum or essay or something he'd written about how we copy Tony Blair's playbook. Literally that. This is sort of our agenda in government. Do what Tony Blair did. Michael Gove. Like Michael Gove should be trusted on anything ever again. Michael Gove should be, the name Gove should be shorthand for failure and treason. That's what that should be. Disgusting man. I'd put him on trial for crimes against the nation. Okay, Gove blasts Streeting and Burnham in Mail article as Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, the cuckoo in the nest, bizarrely finds herself head of the Conservative Party and leader of the opposition. She says the Labour clowns couldn't negotiate with the EU. They almost certainly can't, but what, you could, Olukemi? Really? Like, you're the answer? No. Weren't you gloating in Parliament about all the foreign student visas you were able to achieve not too long ago, only a few years ago, when you thought that was the prevailing thing, when you thought that was best for your career, to do that and then gloat about it? But now you're really hardline. Now you're super anti-EU. Now you're super, super stop the boats. Don't believe anything you do or say, Kemi, or Olukemi. You're a Nigerian person. You're a cuckoo in the nest. You're a fifth columnist, as far as I'm concerned. Don't want you anywhere near power. No, zero seats for you in your disgusting party. You had your chance and you ruined this country. Tony Blair fatally wounded it, made cracks and fissures in it. And you guys, you were in government, weren't you, Kemi? I do believe, at least for some of that time, you were in government. And you guys hammered in death knells. Ruined this country in all sorts of ways. But now we're supposed to listen to people like Olukemi Badenoch and Michael Gove still. They know what to do. They would have all the answers, would they? Now you had your chance. That party, the Conservative Party, deserves nothing but absolute annihilation. At the ballot box. Zero seats. I would love to see that as an organisation, the Conservative Party, as an organisation, utterly, utterly cease to exist. It deserves nothing else. Okay. The Telegraph, the Daily Torygraph, something about Kate Blanchett. Do not care about what Kate Blanchett does or says. Bumham retreats on push to rejoin EU. See, they make the calculation in sort of working class Wigan that just went completely for reform across the board in terms of councillors, local government. Maybe don't talk about rejoining in the EU. Maybe don't. So skinny fat Andy Burnham, who doesn't go jogging on a regular basis and does wear eyeliner. I'm not sure if he actually wears eyeliner. I think he's just got particularly thick eyelashes. But anyway, Andy Burnham, who looks like he wears eyeliner and doesn't do cardio on a regular basis, he retreats from a push on rejoining the EU. Although you know for a fact he would love to, because he's on the left. He's further to the left than Starmer. So his true feeling is absolutely Britain should join the EU, that absolutely Brexiteers and Brexit, the concept of it, is bad and evil. He doesn't really want to say that at this point because he's trying to win a general election in sort of working class Wigan. By-election. He's going to keep try and keep as stum on that as possible. Labour leadership contender Andy Burnham distances himself from previous calls after backlash. I've said it before. You know, I'm not making that out. It's not just like a speculation by me. Absolutely a matter of record that that's what Burnham would like. He's magically found himself Prime Minister today. That's what he would be doing and talking about. But we just won't talk about that for now, for the minute. Need to try and win a by-election in a reform, a leaving and reform area. He couldn't just stand on his principles just openly, could he? He couldn't just have the courage of his convictions. No, because he's a Labour socialist politician. He has to spin and spin and spin and lie. Lie by omission, if nothing else. In order to bamboozle enough normies and boomers into voting for him. Old Labour, new Labour voters in that area. Idiots, useful idiots, let's be clear. If you're a Labour voter at this point, you're a useful idiot. You are. Turkey voting for Christmas. You're a Labour voter or a Green voter. Lib Dem voter even. You're voting for your own destruction. You're voting for your own demographic decline. You're voting for a country that your children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren will be a hated and marginalised minority there in that country. Look what happened to the white people in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia. Look what happened to the white people in South Africa, or is still happening to them. Look what happened to Christians in Lebanon. Look what happened to a lot of Christians in the Muslim areas of Yugoslavia. Is that what you want for your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? Well, keep voting Labour then. Keep voting Lib Dem and Green then, because that's what you'll get. All right, John Bolton. Something about John Bolton here. This guy, John Bolton. I've mentioned John Bolton once or twice. If you watch all the Bo shows, if you watch Breakfast with Bo, you know my feelings about John Bolton. Absolute scumbag. Used to be ambassador, U.S. ambassador. He's an American person. Used to be ambassador to the U.S. Had various positions in various administrations, but also the first Trump administration. He thinks of himself as some sort of foreign policy guru. He knows everything about the world, John Bolton. He knows how the world goes round and why, and has got an answer for everything, literally everything that goes on in the world, particularly on foreign relations and foreign affairs, foreign policy. He's a complete scumbag hulk, by the way. An evil person, in my opinion. He says, and he hates Trump. To begin with, they were buddies, because John Bolton realised it was a vector to get him back into office. But then quickly they fell out and now they hate each other. Now all John Bolton does is throw shade at Trump. That's all he does. He says in the Telegraph. Are we on the Telegraph? Why is my mouse not working? Okay. Yeah, in the Telegraph, John Bolton says, Trump is playing a perilous game over Taiwan. Shut up, John Bolton. Sorry, aren't you on trial? Or aren't you waiting for your trial for... Well, actual treason, essentially. Giving away state secrets. John Bolton wrote a book a couple of years back where he talked about his time at, the State Department and or the Pentagon, was it? I can't remember, during the first Trump administration. He wrote a book about that because, of course, You trying to make money. Can't necessarily blame him for that exactly, but in that book, seems like he said things. Well, he did. It's the allegations, anyway. He said things that were supposed to be secret in that. If found guilty, potentially looking at spending the rest of his natural life in prison. 20 years, more. Potentially, probably not. But nonetheless, John, bro, concentrate on your defence right now. I'd be spending time just keeping quiet, keeping a low profile and working with your defence team about how you're going to handle your court cases. Not writing op-eds for the Telegraph, dunking on Trump at any given moment. That's what I'd probably do if I was you, John. You scumbag. Aren't you done? Aren't you done? Aren't you in your 80s? Aren't you in your 70s or 80s? Just pipe down, John. Ugh, hate John Bolton. Hate him. Everything that's wrong with the world is people like John Bolton. All right, the Financial Times, something about Ebola. Don't care, that's a problem for Uganda. That's a problem for Uganda. Don't try and make us scared about it. Bumham plays down rejoining EU. That's what I'm going to say now. I'm going to call him Bumham. Going forward, I've decided. Andy Bumham plays down rejoining EU as Labour battle reopens Brexit wounds. Okay. Trump Jr.'s venture capital company firm thing sees its assets surge to $3.5 billion. So it's often how that's, you know, Tony Blair's son, is it Ewan Blair? Ewan Blair runs some sort of investment venture capital type thing. It's now got assets to the tune of, I think, hundreds of millions or a billion or something, crazy money. That's interesting, isn't it? There's definitely no sort of insider trading, or not necessarily insider trading, insider sort of info going on there, is there? Like how Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband, is magically one of the greatest investors of all time. Remarkable, isn't it? The Pelosi's personal portfolio, statistically, they're some of the greatest stock pickers of all time. Don Jr., Trump Jr. is just a brilliant businessman. It's just great. Just able to amass assets worth billions. There's no nepotism going on, though. Oh, no. No sort of insider info being passed around. Like Ewan Blair and Tony Blair. No. They're just great business people in and of their own right. Ewan Blair, Don Jr., and Paul Pelosi. Which is just the tip of the iceberg. This goes on all the time. All the time. Make a bit of money out of information. So they do. Dial it up to the tune of billions. Sure, why not? Why not? All right, the iPaper. Should we read the blurb on the iPaper? And then we'll move on. It's more of the same. I think you're getting the picture this morning. The morning of the 18th. Streeting will stand for PM if and when he summons the balls to actually trigger the thing. Streeting will stand for PM on pledge to rejoin the EU, which no one really wants. Not no one. There's some lefties. Idiot lefty boomers who think the leaving the EU was bad. They don't want their government to have sovereignty. They don't want Parliament to be the highest body that sets law in this country. Those people, those weirdos, those self-loathing freaks. Starmer spent weekend at Chequers considering his future. That's the other sort of main point, I guess, this morning. If anyone doesn't know, Chequers is a big mansion, country house set in lovely grounds, which is the prime ministerial sort of rural country retreat. The house and grounds are called Chequers. So Starmer spent the weekend there, basically chilling out. quote, considering his future. Quote. So at the moment, the line, the party line, the line coming out of number 10 and Starmer's camp, is that he won't resign and he won't set out any actual timetable for leaving. Right? That's the party line at the moment. But it looks like now, if those reports are to be believed, there's cracks in that. He is considering his future. That's not the same, is it? That's actually quite different to I won't leave until I'm forced out. Considering future, if that's true. Is that, you know, maybe he will, if Burnham wins that by-election, maybe Simon might consider stepping aside, accepting that, although if he's got the numbers, if he thinks he's got the numbers within the Parliamentary Labour Party to defeat Burnham, why would he stand aside? The thing is, if it comes down to the last two, say there's four or five players, contenders in this leadership election, then let's just say it's whittled down, because that's how it works. You have various rounds of voting, and the losers off, and you do another round of voting until it's whittled down to two. If the last two were Burnham and Streeting, Burnham wins that. He's much more popular among the Labour Party membership and unions, because he's left, much more left. So Starmer would lose that, almost certainly. So now he's considering his future. The big battleground for Starmer was to get the NEC to select Andy in the first place. I really was surprised last week when it emerged, when it came out that no, the NEC was just going to let it happen. There's no big battle. Starmer didn't rally his faction of the NEC to fight that hurdle. Who knows what happened in the background to make that not a hurdle for Burnham? That really was Starmer's sort of a key battleground for him in his fight against Bumham. He could have, should have tried to block him at that point. Obviously couldn't. You would have thought if he could, he would. He obviously couldn't. Sentiment has profoundly changed. I remember in the days and week or two running up to that, some reports saying the sentiment within the NEC has completely changed and is a shoo-in now. And other people, obviously Starmer loyalists, saying no, nothing's changed. No, if it came to that, the NEC would vote exactly as it did last time, i.e. almost unanimously against Burnham's interests. Well, that proved to be a lie, didn't it? That proved to be wrong. Out of those two conflicting bits of leakage coming out of the inner sanctum of Labour, that was the lie. All right, we'll quickly read this. Wes Streeting, in fact, no, forget it. We've got it. We've done all the points. What else we've got? The Metro, ugh, disgusting. Andy Burnham doing a jog there in a different T-shirt. That wasn't the same T-shirt, was it? He's got a different T-shirt. Look, mate, look at your belly. Why are you pretending you jog? You don't jog. Oh, look, it's the Eurovision Song Contest. Absolute cretinous, pathetic, insane spectacle of Eurovision. Just one more cavalcade of freaks and weirdos that we're supposed to lap up. Like the Oscars, or the BAFTAs, or the Met Gala or something. Just one more freak show we're supposed to be interested in and watch. No. All right, look, there's Lisa Nandy, who's committed to a multi-ethnic Britain. Not multicultural. Well, multicultural, but also multi-ethnic. That's what the Runnymede Trust is. Her father founded it. She's really involved in it, has always been. The culture secretary, who's absolutely ideologically committed to replacing us in our own ancestral homeland as quickly as possible. This disgusting traitor. There you go. She may be in Wes's camp, but she thinks it's a political mistake for him to bang on about Brexit. All right, you get it. The Express, it's a good paper. It's not globalist slop like all the rest of them. There's Sophie there, that's Edward's wife. Crazy witch lady now. She's quite pretty when she was younger. She looks crazy there. Voters are not fooled and deserve honesty. That's Nigel Farage talking about Burnham, really. That we all know Burnham's a Ramona. But he doesn't want to talk about that at this by-election. And Nigel's saying, you know, people aren't fooled by that. And why can't you just be honest? Fair point, isn't it? Fair point. Okay. Chuck a lot of shade at Nigel and reform here. I certainly do. If they write about something, I'll say it. And I kind of hate Zia Yusuf. I think he's a disgusting fifth columnist. But sometimes he says things that are absolutely true. Doesn't he? Sometimes. Some of his takes. A big chunk of his takes. Can't disagree with them. There you go. Try and be fair-handed. If and when Restore come out with something I could profoundly disagree with, I'll say so. All right. The Star. The Star. Just more of the same. Burnham. Oh, they decided to go with football. VAR is what? The virtual assistant referee. Burnham. I'd get rid of the virtual assistant referee. Would you? Oh, he's a man of the people. He supports Everton. He's a man of the people. He likes football. He's just like you or me. He's a working class lad. Not a crazy globalist. People that are buying this. The Mirror. Super gross. Just how much harrowing nonsense can we fit onto one front page? Remember when Kylie used to go out with Michael Hutchins, who committed suicide? And she never really got over it. Remember that? Oh, thanks, The Mirror. Cheers for that. Remember this 35 years ago, this tiny little toddler just got abducted and disappeared? Remember that? Oh, thanks. That's a nice Monday morning set of things out of anything in the world you could report on. The Mirror goes with that. The Mirror. Slop. The sloppiest of the slop. The Sun, what nonsense. The football players, the England football players, because it's the World Cup, not all that far away, is it? World Cup in Mexico and Canada and the United States and Mexico and stuff, isn't it? Apparently the hotel, one of the hotels the England players are staying at, the mattresses are a bit too hard. And so the players need like new mattresses, new softer mattresses, their own bedding sent from home. That's front page. That's the front page. Okay. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. Fleet Street. The British print media. Especially, particularly the tabloids. Sloppiest of the slop. All right. Those are the front pages. Shall we have a look at our poll today? We did a poll, didn't we, Harry? We try and do one every day. If we put it up on my screen, I can't remember what it was. What did we say? What did we ask you? Oh! Did you notice on the front pages there was nothing about the Tommy rally? It's a tiny bit of patriotism. So they'll just completely blank it. Completely ignore it. Of course they will. That's who they are. That's what they are. That cabal of evil editors. And it is a cabal. Of course they're in cahoots with each other. They've decided in their little boom or WhatsApp group or whatever, Facebook group. Hey guys, we're going to completely ignore the Tommy rally, yeah? That Unite the Kingdom thing. Tens of thousands of people turned up to try and save their country. Yeah, we're just going to completely blank that. Liar, utterly liar by omission about that, yeah? All of us, yep, in agreement, right? Yep. And of course, as always, don't mention Epstein anymore and his connection to Nathaniel Rothschild, the fifth Baron Rothschild. Yep, great, got it, good, go. All right, we asked you, are Tommy Robinson's rallies just a grift? Oh, and you say no. 64% of you say no. 36% of you say yes. 2-1. 2/3 say no. 1/3 say yes. Well, there you go. Interesting. I think they largely are. All right. Not entirely. Tommy serves a purpose, doesn't he? A pipeline to wake up normies. Even if he does stop at a very specific point with his basedness. Very, very specific point. Beyond which, if you go any one inch beyond that, he starts treating you like how Nigel treats anyone that's to the right of him. nonetheless, it serves a purpose, doesn't it? Waking up normies, because millions and millions of them must be woken up and realise the peril that they're in. Does the Tommy movement serve a purpose there? I think so. All right. Let's have a look at some of the other stories. Quick few other stories before we start rounding it out. It's already nearly nine. What do we have? Oh, look, this guy. All I thought about was running for my life. Footballer recalls train stabbing attack. Yeah. I mean, that's a haircut. I've said it a number of times, haven't I? When you're a bald man, particularly a bald man who goes for the bonehead look and you've let it grow out a little bit, you can't really criticise other people's haircuts. It's like being overweight and criticising other people for being too heavy. Unless that's a haircut, isn't it? Look at that. That's a proper Henry V. That's a proper Lloyd Christmas going on there, isn't it? Henry V. Got a laugh out of Harry. All right. Look at this scumbag. Look at the... Oh, my God. It's so infuriating, isn't it? UK-registered firms, small businesses that run, like, vape shops, obviously fronts for organised crime. UK-registered firms linked to payments for small boat crossings, BBC fines. Yeah, look, they went in just this random... Some random, like, mobile phone shop, pretending to be a mobile phone shop. It's actually just a front for people smuggling. Look at that. Look at that. He's caught him absolutely red-handed, just talking about, yeah, it's £2,700. We'll get one of the guys over in Calais to smuggle your cousin over or whatever. £2,700, you give that to me. And we'll sort that out for you. I mean, if he drowns in the crossing, there's nothing we can do. If you want your money back, no, we won't give you the money back. But there you go. £2,700. Then when they confronted him with it, like, the same day, he's just like, no, I didn't do anything. Nope. Nope. Why would I? Nope. These people need to be deported against their will, if need be, by force, if need be. Why is this person here? Completely foreign criminal. Let's just watch
it.
We're going undercover to expose the UK businesses helping people smugglers. Our researcher has been told by a smuggler based in France to pay at this London shop for an illegal small boat crossing.
Pause this. Anyone in Britain seen shops like this? Exactly like this? So is our country full of places like this? Full of them. Are any of them legit businesses? Are any of them? A lot of them are barbers, aren't they? A lot of them are sweet shops. A lot of them are like mobile phone shops and vape shops. A lot of them are like chicken, supposed to be selling fried chicken. Shops that look like this. Are any of them legit?
Worker knows what the money's for and the risks involved.
Anyone's only listening to this and can't see the subtitles.
We return to the shop saying, to ask some questions.
Yeah, we'll get,
why do you move money for people smugglers?
We don't move money.
Do you know it's dangerous?
We don't
you know
move
that
money,
people
he said.
Die on these boats.
We don't do any because that's job we don't do. We have only phone shop we have.
We've secret.
What? What? That was supposed to be English. That was supposed to be English. Why are you involved in people smuggling? No, we don't do it. There's nothing, no.
We filmed you speaking to an undercover journalist and you told that journalist that we could pay £2,700, which would pay for a small boat crossing from France to the UK.
No, I didn't.
Illegal immigration.
Just that. Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah. I mean, what can you say? What can you say? We need to deport this filth. Look at that shop. Just look at that front shop. Are our high streets not filled with these, filled with them, the length and breadth of this country? What a terrible disease that is. What a terrible blight on our civil society, on our culture, on our nation, filled with scum, criminal scum, some of the worst, human trafficker. Just some random guy in some random vape shop. You confronted him with slam dunk evidence. No, I didn't. What? Mad, isn't it? Again, in Bowes, Britain, I would go to war with all of this. I would spend a vast amount of time and energy and money, political capital, on cutting this cancer out of our country. There was one other story I wanted to get to. I think was it in the mail? Something about Trump. Was it? Let me see if I can find it real quick. Real quick for you. Okay, maybe it was the Express. It was just about Trump threatening Iran again. Was that it? Yeah, this is it. Look. Am I pro the Iranian regime? No. Do I think that oppressive Islamic theocracies are a good thing? No. Hells no. If it was up to me and I could press a button, well, that's not a good analogy actually, if I could snap my fingers and there was no more Iranian regime, would I do that? Yes, 100%. Am I running out of patience or belief? Put it this way, am I running out of belief? In Donald Trump to do that, though. Yeah, a little bit. Is the taco thing by the day seeming more and more vindicated? In my mind, a little bit. But this is the latest thing. Trump generated this AI image here, and if you're only watching, it's a picture of Donald Trump sitting in a space station in orbit, pressing a big red button, and nukes are going off. From orbit. He's literally nuking his enemies. And the truth in the Truth Social post, he said, "For Iran, the clock is ticking. And they better get moving fast." Boom, at all capitals. "They better get moving fast. Or there won't be anything left of them. Time is of the essence!" Exclamation mark, all capitals. "Time is of the essence," President Donald J. Trump. Like, you've been saying that for a while now, bro. They called your bluff like a week or more ago. You've got demands, they've got demands, they're not bending to your demands. What are you going to do? Post an AI image of you nuking them from orbit? Dude. Taco meme. People, taco meme purveyors, most vindicated. Are you going to take them out and blow up their bridges and power stations or not? Stop doing this. Whoever's advising Donald Trump, if it's possible to advise him, tell him to stop doing this. This does look lame now. This looks like weak sauce now to me. A bit embarrassing, actually. How many times are you going to play this card? "I'm just about to annihilate you. I'm going to do it. You've got 24 hours. You've got 90 minutes and then I'm going to do it." Are you though? Are you? Not that I want him to. I'd like that regime to be removed with as little human misery as possible. With as few completely innocent Persian people blown to bits as possible. That's what I'd like. But he's painted himself into this corner. Or allowed himself to be painted into this corner. Are you going to take out that regime or not? Are you going to back away or not? This is not a good look for me. I'm not buying this. This is getting very close to pathetic, actually, for me. All right, there you go. Should we just move on this day in history? Quite like doing that section. You like doing that section, don't you? What happened on this day in history? On the 18th of May, down through the centuries, What have we got? In the year 1291, after 100 years of Crusader control, the last Crusader stronghold of Acre is reconquered and destroyed by the Mamluks. Mamluk Turk Muslims. Under Sultan Al-Ashraf Khalil. Yeah, Acre was the last stronghold, wasn't it? Of Outremar, the Crusader kingdoms. Didn't have a bad innings, I suppose. What, the first Crusade is, what, 1099? They sacked Jerusalem. In, what, 1099, isn't it? If I remember off the top of my head. So, just shy of 200 years. Not too shabby. Do you reckon, on my own channel, History Bro, and on my history theme show behind the paywall, Bode's Lotus Eaters, at lotuseaters.com, you consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership. Do you reckon I've got all sorts of content about the First, Second and Third Crusade? And Fourth Crusade, actually. Oh yeah, it's all there. Long-form content, quite a few hours in total. All about that. Got a three-part series just about Richard the Lionheart, Richard the First. And his crusade, the Third Crusade. All right. 1804, on this day, in the year 1804, Napoleon Bonaparte is proclaimed Emperor of France by the French state. Do you reckon I've got a 9-10-part series? So well over 10 hours, probably more like 15-plus hours, talking about the career of Napoleon Bonaparte. You bet your sweet ass I have. When he became Le Empereur in 1804. That's funny, I thought the whole French Revolution was supposed to be against monarchy. That was the whole point of it. But now Napoleon's an emperor again now. Full-blown hereditary monarch. Oh, okay. Isn't that a complete betrayal of the revolutionary view? All right, that's Napoleon for you. An ambitious little man. Deeply, deeply ambitious little man. Okay, on this day in 1896, Kodienka tragedy, I'm probably mispronouncing that. A stampeding crowd on Kodienka Field, again, apologies if I'm mispronouncing that, in Moscow, during the coronation festivities for Russian Tsar Nicholas II, causes the death of an estimated 1,300 people. Do you reckon I talk all about the Tsar? Well, actually, Harry, it's the other one. Go to the other camera. There. On my own channel, History Bro. Talk long-form content all about Tsar Nicholas II. The last Tsar. He's the one that got him and his whole family murdered in a house of special purpose by the Bolsheviks in 1917. It's the same one. Tsar Nicholas II. Loads of content on that. Fascinating. Fascinating life. I mean, he's a weak man. He needed to be sort of an Ivan the Terrible. And he wasn't. He was just sort of quite a kindly dad. Really. Wasn't anywhere near strong enough. All right. Yeah, and there was, on his coronation day, there was some sort of free trinket being handed out. I don't know if it was like a commemorative mug or commemorative plate or something. And they were free being handed out and everyone wanted one. And so there was a stampede and a crush. And yeah, like 1,300 people died in it. And he like never really got over it. Well, I mean, he did, but he was like profoundly, as you could imagine, it must have been a scene of horror. You know, over 10 times bigger than Hillsborough, for example. Must have been horrible. 1,300 people crushed to death. Hideous. And he was like sort of very, very deeply, profoundly hurt, wounded by that. And as any normal person would be. To be a czar of all the Russians, probably need to be a bit more steely than that. Anyway. Horrible thing that happened on this day. In 1974, on this day, 1974, India becomes the sixth nation to detonate an atomic bomb. Great, isn't it? India and Pakistan have got nukes. If anyone's going to nuke anyone else, I would have thought it would be India and or Pakistan. Maybe North Korea might nuke South Korea at some point, or Japan. Probably not. Are Russia and the United States going to have a nuclear exchange? I highly doubt it. Is France or the UK going to nuke anyone? I wouldn't have thought so. Might India and Pakistan nuke each other? Possibly, eh? Possibly. Right, on this day in 1980 was the eruption of Mount St. Helens in Washington State, the extreme Pacific Northwest of America. And it triggers the largest landslide in history, killing 57 people and causing over $1 billion of damage in 1980s money. You think, oh, the biggest landslide in history, that's remarkable. What must that have looked like? What would that have been like? It was the whole side of the mountain. Here's, look, there's a picture of Mount St. Helens there. The whole side of it sloughed away. It was a volcano, it was an eruption. And, one whole side of an entire mountain just fell away. It'd be cool if we had any pictures or footage of that. Well, there was a guy that just happened to be taking a picture. It's also absolutely picturesque and lovely. Guy just happened to be sort of the right distance away from it, taking pictures. And he took like 8 or 12 or 15 pictures of it while it was going on. Incredible documentation of it. Quite recently, relatively recently, they got AI to sort of make a time lapse of that. Have a quick look at it. Have a quick look at that. There we go. So there's Mount St. Helens there. Oh, look, something's going off at the top. What? The whole side of that mountain. It's a giant mountain as well, by the way. The scale might be difficult to gauge there. It's basically a mountain blew up. This footage you're watching is based on a few still images that were taken, and they've AI'd it to make it look like footage. It's mad, isn't it? That's mad. Mount St. Helens. Okay, that was on this day in 1980. Okay, one last one. What have we got? On this day in 2009, the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam are defeated by the Sri Lankan government, ending the Sri Lankan civil war and almost 26 years of fighting between the two sides. Yeah, probably for the best, isn't it? Tamils will get annoyed with me for saying that, but it's probably for the best, isn't it? The Tamil Tigers, well, both sides accused the other side of atrocities over years and years and years. It's not that I'm particularly pro the Sri Lankan government. It's not like I feel like they didn't do anything wrong. But it's not like the Tamils are saints. The Tamil Tigers, not like they're like a classic, like a lot of things in history. There's no goodies there. There's no right side to be backing, particularly. And in the final reckoning, because it was what the Sri Lankan government had to do, sort of stamped it out with extreme prejudice. Oh well, no concern of ours. It's a Sri Lankan problem. All right. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Let's see, what have we got here? Our Rumble Rants. Let me do that with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen. All right. Oh, 14 Barbers in at number one. No sign of global church history or jet lag this morning. I hope you're okay, guys. Global church history, you okay, buddy? Hashtag pray for global church history. All right, 14 Barber, super fan, is in at number one this morning. He says, good morning, Bo. You all right? Thanks for asking. I'm all right, yeah. Hope you're all right. You say, Restore will win Makerfield. I hope so. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. Don't worry about splitting the vote. I even saw Mark Collette talking about splitting the vote. Mark Collette. Get a better take, Mark. Okay. You say, Restore will win Makerfield. Burnham isn't some big beast, even though reformers act like he is. Yeah. It's weird enough that the Labour calculation is that he's some sort of unstoppable force of political nature and that he can't not win. That anyone else buys that is truly crazy to me. That anyone else buys that, like, reform people. Or even Mark Collette, as I say, on some level, buying into that. Why? Why would you? No, I think that's nonsense. I really do. Yeah, even though reformers act like he is. Yeah, he's not. They're just saying that to try and put off restore people. Don't split the vote. There's no vote splitting. There's no vote splitting because reform are part of the globalist thing. They're part of the uniparty globalist blob. Open borders, not open borders, but... They're not good enough, are they, reform? They're not hardline enough. They may as well just be the Tories. When, if and when Nigel gets into power, will he effectively act like the Tories? Are you not really curbing legal immigration or anything like that? Yeah, he will, yeah. Because that's who he is. He said mass remigration is impossible. Right? He's got Suella Braverman. He's got a hand-picked, handmade person to shill all of that for him. Oh, we're trying really hard to stop the boats, but can't. And we certainly can't do anything about legal immigration in any profound sense. He's got that Nadim Zuhari. He's got all the people ready to do that. So they're part of the same thing. So a restore vote is not splitting anything, is it? And if it means reform, if restore, the number of restore votes means that the reform candidate there just misses out to a Labour win, so be it. So be it. That's the nature of politics. It might even ultimately be better for us that Burnham takes over from Starmer in the final reckoning of Labour getting trounced at the ballot box at the next general election, whenever that is. It's not a given that leaving Starmer there is the best thing from our point of view. Not given at all. That Andy will stem the bleeding as far as Labour are concerned. Why do you think that? Why would you think that? No reason to think that. If anything, he speeds runs us down the avenue of socialism, which people hate even more. But there's no splitting of the vote. Okay. Fortean Barber says, shame for Max at the Nürburgring 24, but great for the Dacia Logan. Oh, it was the Nürburgring 24-hour endurance race, was it? I saw that, but I didn't see the results. So did Max... You say shame for Max. I know he was racing in it. I'll notice this weekend, but I don't know the result. In fact, I'll check that out today. Nice, thanks for reminding me. You said shame for Max. So I guess he didn't win. Did he crash out? I really don't know. I saw something about it. I did see one quick thing when I was scrolling through Twitter or YouTube. There was like some sweet overtake he did. A sort of masterful overtake. But you're suggesting there that he came a cropper or just lost or something. I'll check it out. Thanks for letting me know. All right. Fallen Firebird says, Manchesterism is an illusion. Yeah, what a nonsense concept that is. Manchesterism. Give me a break. Andy Burnham's not left or right. He's north. King of the North. Oh, wow. Wow. Pure cringe coming out of the publicists and political advisors of the Burnham camp. Pure cringe. Yeah, Fallen Firebird. Manchesterism is an illusion. Right, yeah. Massive companies buy up premises in the centre and inflate output figures whose employees commute from rich rural areas. It's still a degenerate multicultural hellscape. Yeah. The middle of Manchester is like the middle of London or like the middle of Birmingham. A multicultural hellscape. Some sort of third world open air insane asylum. Yeah. That's what Andy Burnham will bring you. That's what Andy Burnham has spent the last 10 years overseeing. That. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Fictagious says, you should change the segment name to This Day of History Past. Okay. Okay. I mean, I only say it because that's what the website is called. The website's literally called On This Day or On This Day in History. Yeah, maybe you're right. You say This Day of History Past. It sounds a bit better, doesn't it? You're not wrong. All right. And then the last Rumble rant this morning, anyway, is from Fallen Firebird again, who says, the St. Helens eruptions killed more than it otherwise would have, because before this eruption, scientists weren't aware that volcanoes could explode laterally. So it basically shotgunned an entire area. Right, yeah, if you watched that bit of footage, it sort of, yeah, blew out sideways. It was upwards, but also, in fact, mainly sideways. Half of the mountain sloughed off sideways, yeah. I think totally by their own admission, sort of missed a trick there. They didn't think Mount St. Helens would do that exactly. I mean, they're aware that something was going on, something was going down, but they didn't really think it might do exactly that morning. Yeah. Yeah. Remarkable thing, though, isn't it? Absolutely remarkable thing. All right, that's the last rumble round. We'll get the YouTube super chats. Harry, if you bring those up for me, make it so engaged. There they are. Oh, only a few today. All right, let's do them then. What have we got here? Montka Brain with an umlaut. I'm assuming you're foreign. Montka Brain says, if you interview a blue van man, I will be your top guy. Okay, must admit, never heard of the blue van man. Harry, do you know blue van man? Have you heard of this guy?
I don't. No,
sorry. I'll check him out. I can do that for you later or in a minute. I can Google, it's one word, blue van man. I can Google him, have a look for you. I can do that for you, can't I? At the very least. Thanks for the super chat. But off the top of my head, I don't know who he is. A lot of people still in the dissident right, in the online right sphere, loads of them I don't know still. Loads, it's like people got arrested at the Tommy rally or whatever. I've never heard of them. And they're big. You look them up and they're like, oh, they've got hundreds of thousands of followers. Okay. Probably should know more. I spend my days reading history a lot. I really do. Not just endlessly on Twitter, not just endlessly interacting with the community. Okay. What's this name? Just a collection of letters. ATGE9PN. That's what they're calling themselves. Fair enough. Thanks for the super chat. £10. Cheers. Not to be sniffed at. That person says, they say, if they rejoin the EU, I predict the masses will snap. And this country will burn. Love the show, Bo. Stay true. Union Jack emoji. Well, brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. At some point, there comes a snapping point. In all revolutions, nearly all revolutions, it gets talked about and mooted, and there's false dawns for years and years and years and years. And it looks like it's never going to happen. It can't happen. The people are too docile. Da, da, da. And then, boom, it snaps. Like an elastic band. Boom. It happens. That's how most revolutions happen, like that. Would that be the final snapping point for the British people, the English people? They rejoined the EU. Who knows? Because you would think, you would hope it would be something like 7/7 or the Manchester Arena bombing or the Southport or something. But even massive revolutions like the Russian Revolution, we had a false dawn years before, like 12 years before, people talking about it for years and years and years and years. The French Revolution was a century in the making or more. A century, yeah. Looks like it's never going to happen. If it didn't happen then, it will never happen. If that didn't cause it, it won't. And then, but something in the end snaps. All right, we'll see. Who knows? The future's not for us to see. The future's not yet written. Thomas Tyne says, hey, Bo from Oregon. Oh, Oregon, go Ducks. Another weekend gone. Yay. Oh, okay. You prefer working to chilling out on the weekend. I don't know. Is that what that sort of infers? I don't know. But anyway, hello from Oregon. Got quite a few cousins and family in Oregon. West Coast. I've been reliably informed the West Coast is the best coast. So. Varulg 231 says, The Trump threats remind me of school and seeing someone saying, hold me back, yeah, it's like that, isn't it? It is now. It's not worth it, Dave, it's not worth it, don't do it. Deliberately putting your mates between you and the other guy, pretending you're trying to get at him. Yeah. But no one does, and the guy just does nothing. Right, yeah, yeah, it's like that. It's starting to look like that, isn't it? Maybe Trump will pull the trigger on, as I say, I've said a number of times, maybe he will pull the trigger on something massive, reignite the war with Iran and blow up all their bridges and power stations, put limited boots on the ground, etc., etc., etc. But at the moment, what he's doing at the moment, this gambit of just threatening them, posting AI images of stuff, is a bit, I don't think it's a good look. It should be below a president to be behaving like that, really, I think. Call me old-fashioned. All right. That's the show. It is now 25 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on Monday the 18th of May in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters, thank you for joining me. Without you, it really isn't a thing. It really isn't. I say it every day. I might stop saying that as often because you say something so much and it loses its meaning. And I want that to retain its meaning. Because it's true. Thank you. Again, there's no way to express the sincerity of me saying thank you for watching. Thank you for getting involved in the chat and the poll and sending in a super chat or a rumble rant. Thank you. My people. Without you, it's nothing. Try and make the best of the day ahead. Carpe diem. Seize the day. If you can. Your time is the most precious thing you will ever have. Try and make the best use of it if you can. All right. I won't get too preachy about it. You know. You know. Try and make the best of the day ahead. Okay, until tomorrow morning then. Take care.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.